Last week, in the wake of increased animosity aimed at law enforcement officers of all stripes across the country, Senate Republicans in New York tried and failed to advance a so-called Protect Those Who Protect Us package of reforms. To discuss the effort, we're joined by State Senator Patrick Gallivan, an Erie County Republican who, in another life, served as the county sheriff. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Well, I'm glad to be back again.
So the language in the amendments advanced by the Senate Republicans create new categories of crimes and increase penalties for existing crimes against police. Can you walk us through maybe one or two that you feel is really important and explain why?
I think that they're all important, but in the larger sense, the very simple premise is if we can't protect the police, if the police are not safe, they cannot keep us safe. So one of the basic tenets I remember when I was a young trooper and went through the academy, and in particular, this had to do with being taught pursuit driving. And the admonishment was, if you can't get to a scene safely, you can't help somebody once you get there. So I mean, obviously, you're supposed to exercise every precaution you could take when you have the lights and siren on. You're still responsible to get somewhere safely and not drive recklessly. But I think that holds true with everything. If the police are worried about protecting themselves, how on earth can they be protecting us? So what this particular package does is it tries to recognize that, and it enhances penalties for assault upon a police officer, aggravated harassment upon a police officer. It tries to protect a police officer privately, his family life, to protect his residence address, from preventing people from saying, let's go to police officer David Lombardo's house at 123 Main Street at 6 p.m. and protest out in front of his house or harass them or throw rocks through the window. And then ultimately, what this package does is it would make May 15th a state holiday in New York in honor of the more than 1,500 police officers who have died in the line of duty in New York State.
So essentially, like any other bill that would increase penalties, the idea is that it would be a deterrent, right?
Exactly. We have seen, we look at what's going on across the country, and it's not just in recent days, but we see violence up across the state. We see attacks on police officers up across the country, just attacks for no apparent reason. And it's somewhat troubling. I mean, it's troubling, I think, for law-abiding citizens who have every right to be concerned about whether or not the police can properly protect them. And I think what we're trying to do is call attention to the problems going on in society, call attention to the job that the police officers do, and just say, hey, wait a minute, let's take a time out. Let's look at the job they do. Let's look at the overwhelming majority of them are honest, decent people who got into it for the right reasons, and that's to protect the community. And let's value that. And then, of course, as lawmakers, our fundamental responsibility is to protect people. And this works in that direction.
Well, you mentioned some of the attacks, and you've argued that they're for no apparent reason. But it seems like the spike in attacks or general animosity is in the wake of the death of George Floyd and the civil unrest that's followed that, which really has, a kind of a well-defined roots in wanting some sort of police reform. So I'm curious why you think that police would be safer with more deterrence as opposed to maybe addressing some of the root concerns that have led to the civil unrest and have led to some of these incidents where we've seen more animosity or violent incidents, as you said.
I think that's a very fair question, but they're not mutually exclusive. We should, if citizens and communities are wanting their police agencies to be responsive in different ways, mm-hmm. we should be addressing that. But at the same time, we still should be protecting the police and ensure that there's laws in place that permit them to do their job properly. We should also be providing the support to ensure that they get the necessary training that's required. One of the things that we have seen in recent years is more mental health related issues that have been more and more brought up more and more in the public eye. And it's clear that police can use additional training in that particular area. That costs money, though. And so I think it's up to the policymakers at every level, at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level, to ensure that they're getting proper training in handling when they're confronted with people who have mental health issues. So we certainly don't want bad police officers out there. And one of the ways that we can do that is to probably enhance the screening process in hiring police officers. But from the policymaker, the lawmaker point of view, you want to ensure that police administrators have that proper support, they have the proper resources to be able to do that. We should always be pursuing police professionalism. And I think the overwhelming majority of police agencies in New York State do that on a regular basis. New York State has a Department of Criminal Justice Services has an accreditation program. And police accreditation, essentially, it's a set of best practices that agencies aspire to. And if they meet all of those best practices as a matter of policy and hold their officers accountable, ensure proper training, all of those things, they become accredited. And the majority of police agencies in New York State are accredited. So I don't think we should highlight necessarily the things that are wrong with police officers, the bad police officers. Let's highlight the good things going on and then do what we can to ensure that all police agencies and police officers are aspiring to that model. And I think most of them do.
One of the proposals that was included in the package would make crimes against police officers, solely because they're police officers, a hate crime. That type of protection is generally only applied to people attacked because of some immutable characteristics, such as their race. So why is it appropriate to extend it to a chosen profession?
In this particular case, because I think the police officers represent us, when they put the uniform on, they're not just working for themselves. They're working on behalf of the people, in this case, in New York State, on behalf of the people of the state of New York. And they're representatives of the communities that they serve. They represent our laws. They represent the norms of our society. And it's their job to try to uphold that. And often the attacks on them are attacks upon everybody, attacks upon our community and attacks upon our norms. And we hold our laws. While we're going through some troubled times, no question about it, but we hold up our Constitution in a very meaningful way. We hold up our laws in a very meaningful way. And we charge police officers with enforcing those things and representing all of us. And they're the people that are running into the building when people are running away. You look at September 11th, right? The people running towards the scene versus the people that are running away. And I think the enhanced penalty and singling out police officers if they're victims, the perpetrator should receive enhanced penalties, is indicative of that, of what we expect out of it. And we don't want, it's not that we want to catch people doing bad things against police officers. You would hope that some of these enhanced penalties provide that deterrent value so that people are not committing crimes against police officers.
A press release from Senate Republicans that announced this package of bills blamed a spike in crime in New York on quote-unquote Democratic policies. What's that assessment based on, from your perspective, considering, you know, big cities all over the country are seeing spikes in violence this year, and, you know, in large portions of New York State, we haven't really seen an increase in violent crime, let alone crime at all?
It's still a little... Crime statistics generally lag behind real time. But what we've seen in, I think, almost every major large city in our state is an increase in shootings and an increase in violent crime.
Definitely.
As well as an increase in burglaries, among other things. That's problematic. I think the starting point for all of this was a year and a half ago when we saw a number of criminal justice policies, when we saw a new majority in the Senate and one-party control, policies and laws that were passed and implemented that, in my view, favor offenders over our law-abiding communities.
Right, but
the,
Senator...
The so-called bail reform is a specific example of that. When you've got over 90... When we don't permit our judges to consider public safety, I think that that is problematic.
Right, but New York cities aren't alone in seeing this uptick. We're seeing it in other cities and states that didn't loosen their bail laws. So why would we think policies unique to New York are causing our surge if we're seeing them elsewhere too?
I can't speak to the rest of the country because I'm not involved so much in law enforcement or criminal justice nationwide.
But wouldn't it seem though?
I can speak specifically what has taken place in New York.
Wouldn't it seem though that if we're seeing the similar activity elsewhere, that it might be some other commonality, maybe say the pandemic that's going on all over the place? I mean, that's the one common trait between all
well,
the cities.
Well, that's common, and that's in very recent times. But what I'm talking about is what has taken place in New York in the last year and a half. And that's just not strictly related to what's taken place in New York over the past several months.
Oh, but isn't the gun pandemic. I mean, the changes really didn't go into effect, though, until January, though.
Right, but the policies began in the past year and a half with different implementation dates, and we're seeing the effects of them now.
Gotcha.
But here's what I would also say, Dave. It's when you look at cause and effect, you can't say that a single thing has affected all of this. I mean, these policies and these laws, there's a number of laws that have taken place. And then, of course, we've got some of the things that have had potential influence in society. But let's look at a blend of the two in Buffalo, New York. We've got a young man who picked up a burning box and threw it through a window at Buffalo City Hall. In New York State, he's what somebody would say a peaceful protester that came about as a result.
I don't think most people would use that definition of him, though.
No, they wouldn't. But New York's laws, so that person clearly is a danger to the community. And New York's laws prohibited bail being set on that individual. Now, that individual is actually incarcerated right now because he's been charged with federal crimes. But he still remained a danger to the community. And there you have his violent action most likely came about as a result of the protest that started because of what took place in Minnesota in the Floyd case. So he's out there creating problems in society, and he is a problem. But then New York's laws would allow him to continue to be a problem. Well, let's go back in time to the beginning of the year. The bank robber who was robbed five or six banks, and I don't mean to laugh at it, but when you got the felon says, how could they release me? What are they thinking? And the laws are problematic. And if you, now this is more anecdotal, but if you talk to police officers, you talk to people that work out in community, the bad guys, the individuals out on the streets, know that they can get away with things, that they are not going to be locked up. And our laws that, in many cases, provided a deterrent value, really are becoming non-existent. And I think as a result of that, we are seeing the increases in crime, and it's not going to go away. And some other things might contribute to it. But the larger problem, I think, is the change in the laws in New York State, where they're just not balanced. They're looking at offenders. They're looking in some cases where they say that individuals have not been treated properly by police, which is a fair thing to look at. But when we're enacting laws, we should be mindful and considerate of every single citizen in New York. And we have to be balanced. We can't just look at laws to balance things for somebody who's been arrested and ignore our communities. And I think that's what's taken place.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Our guest has been State Senator Patrick Gallivan. Senator, as always, thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.